from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
You know, the funny thing about looking through, like, these player cut trackers, NFL.com has one. Well, one funny thing is every team has cut, like, at least 8 to 10 guys, if not more. The Texans still only have McTelvin Agim listed on the NFL.com's cut tracker. So there's going to be a lot of news coming down over the next 6 hours. Keep it tuned right here to Sports Radio 610. Also, we're giving away 4 tickets to the Cougs season opener, the beginning of the Willie Fritz era, a little later on this hour, so be listening for that. But it's funny, Seth, too, just to skim through here, and you start to see there's, like, names of old Texans, like, oh, I didn't know that
Derek
guy
Rivers
was there.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, like the Titans just cut Ty Zentner, that really horrible punter that punted for Cam Johnston 3 times last year.
Yeah.
In 3 games.
And you do start wondering, though, too, without not that name specifically, some of them where they have a, I mean, it seemed like Derek Rivers was on this roster on and off forever. He was just released by the Colts.
Was he?
Yeah. I don't think he makes this squad. I don't think Derek Rivers is a guy that was kept around on. There's nobody on this defense. The number of defensive ends that they have, including a couple of the guys they're going to cut, I think are better than the upside of Derek Rivers.
Yep. Like, I'm looking, the Broncos cut Philip Dorsett. Remember Philip Dorsett was the number 3 receiver for this team?
Philip Dorsett was, it was fun having Philip Dorsett on the team as kind of just some that we had salvaged, because at one point Jim Irsay was almost gloating about the fact that they'd gotten Philip Dorsett, where the Texans really wanted him, and the Texans did end up picking him up for nothing after he didn't work out for the Colts.
Angelo Blackson was on the Broncos, had no idea he was there, still kicking around the league a little bit.
Well, who was there was a player, a defensive tackle from the, oh, Carlos Watkins was playing in the most recent preseason game against the Texans. Yeah.
Was he really?
Remember Carlos Watkins? He was really good at getting on camera. He was always, like, he'd be dressed but not used in the game. Or if he was inactive, he was a game day inactive. But he was always kind of hovering near the defensive coordinator. So you'd see him and you'd remember that Carlos Watkins was on the team. I liked Carlos. I wish it had worked out.
You liked him because he had your old number. That's why.
He was a 91?
He was
a 91.
He was Club 91, man. Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Who's 91 this year?
Oh boy. Is it
McTelvin Agim?
Is it Foley Fatakasi?
Oh, it's Foley Fatakasi. Yeah, he's safe.
Yeah. No,
he's worthy.
He's worthy.
I deem him worthy of wearing the number 91. I like Foley Fatakasi a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So, biggest questions for this team right now as we sit here at 9 o'clock, 6 hours out from a 53-man roster. I would say the Pierce conundrum is probably still the biggest thing hanging over this team. We don't know what's going to happen with Cam Akers, who had an excellent, excellent training camp and preseason. And you can't say the same thing about Dameon Pierce. And yet he didn't dress for the game on Saturday. D'Amico continues to say not glowing things about Pierce, but at least nothing intimating that he's going to be cut from the team or anything like that. So I think this is the biggest thing I'm waiting to see, man, is Pierce on a different team when 3 o'clock rolls around.
Look, he said what D'Amico said last week in the press conference was, I asked D'Amico what Damian's biggest obstacle was right now, and he said he just needs more ops, more opportunities, and that he's had bad blocking in front of him. And then they didn't play him in the game. So I guess the more ops would, if I'm taking everything at face value, then the only place you're going to get more opportunities is in the regular season. And I can convince myself one way or the other based on D'Amico's statements about Damian, whether it was a ringing endorsement or whether he's just kind of like saying, well, we're not sure. We just don't know. Personally, I think it's time for Damian himself. I think he'd be better off in a different situation, and I think it's time for the Texans, especially when you have these hard. You've got a lot of promising young guys. You've got Cam Akers, who looks rejuvenated and brings an element. He's a different type and style of runner than Joe Mixon is. You know, like, so you have to add that into the mix. When you want a guy who's a little bit smaller but speedier and shiftier, can be maybe more of a threat as a receiver out of the backfield than Joe Mixon can in some ways. They're both good out of the backfield, but in just different ways.
Yeah.
There's almost a little bit of a redundancy with Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, except that the redundancy comes if you're talking about the 2022 version of Damian
right,
Pierce.
Right, right, right. Yeah, you've brought up the word blind spot to describe what could potentially be happening here. We don't know. Until it plays out, we don't know.
A blind spot that D'Amico and Caserio might have for Damian Pierce.
Yes. And in conjunction with that, if Cam Akers were to not make the team. Because I started, as you were saying that, I'm like, okay, has D'Amico had blind spots before with guys? And I guess the closest thing that you could categorize as a blind spot before for D'Amico might be Damian last year for the first 7 games. Like, you could see a few games into the season, like, okay, this isn't really working.
Right.
I would say Jalen Petrie, maybe last year. Like, Jalen got treated like a guy who was probably playing better than he actually was. I think the difference between those two last year and this year, if it were to play out this way where they keep Pierce and cut Akers, is that with Petrie, by the end of the year, there just weren't any better solutions out there. They were ravaged with injuries at safety. Similarly, once D'Amico saw that there was a better solution than Damian Pierce after Pierce got hurt for a bit, he stuck with that solution. He didn't go back to Damian. The thing that would be disturbing here would be if they kept Pierce and cut Cam Akers, because Cam Akers is just so clearly a better option for this football team right now.
Right.
Like, that would be, and that's where I sit back and I go, man, Nick and D'Amico are not, I mean, I get the nature of a blind spot is you're just not seeing things at all, but like, is a super blind spot right there, if that would be the route they went.
The other part I would say with Jalen is that they took active measures in trying him out differently. And they said, okay, well, all right, let's use him in the role they're using him in this year, as opposed to just treating him like he's an actual safety. And that was part of it. Where with Damian, I know, I don't get too hung up on the zone run versus gap scheme stuff or what have you. I mean, there was a play in the preseason where it's old school. Well, it's not old school. They ran power. It was out of shotgun, which is not old school, but they ran power, gap scheme stuff, and there was a hole for Damian to hit, and it wasn't beautiful blocking, it wasn't perfect, but Damian got a tackle for a loss out of it, where I just very easily see other backs on the roster at the very least getting positive yardage out of it. I think the problem is Damian's blind spot right now is right in front of him, and his vision for actually seeing blocking and hitting the hole, and then as far as his actual play, he's just not running those same level of physicality. Whether the blocking's good or bad, he's not knocking people back. He's not turning a bad play into at least positive yardage. We just haven't seen anything out of him like that, and it's been going on for over a year now. That's the other part of the problem.
All right, we've got some news coming in now. We've got a notable cut from the Texans, and this is notable because this is a player that did not play in the game on Saturday, a healthy player who'd been banged up at times, but healthy the week leading up to the game, that is getting released by the Texans, and it is veteran corner and former Jags first-round pick C.J. Henderson.
Okay.
Who I had on my 53 based on the fact that he didn't suit up on Saturday. So I'm already 0 for 1.
I guess he hadn't suited up. I mean, he'd missed a lot of time during training camp with injuries. And I'd say of those two veterans, I always thought it was going to be one of either Okuda or Henderson.
Okuda's he's played less than Henderson has, Okuda.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okuda, Henderson was at least practicing against the Rams, and he was out there that week.
Yeah, yeah.
Okuda's been out for almost a month now with a hip. But maybe, you know, they look, this is one of the position groups for the Texans that is pretty thin. You know, it could be that, you know, Jeff Okuda might make this 53-man roster just based on his traits. You know, he's long and rangy, you know?
It's one of those things we talked about a lot in the offseason, but then I think I got, you know, I got so enraptured by Kamari Lassiter and I was so impressed by him that I'm guilty of looking more at the starters there. But then you have to go back and remember what we talked about in the offseason too. Derek Stingley has yet to play a complete, not even a completely healthy, but like he hasn't had a healthy season since 2019. He's had serious physical setbacks and or illness in every one of those seasons. Mm-hmm. So depth at cornerback is something you can't go into this treating it like the Astros did the first base position this last offseason.
Right. So CJ Henderson cut by the Texans. I got to keep an eye here on see if there's any other Texan cuts. Aaron Wilson is the one who I'm looking at here, and he is. Oh, okay. Here's another Texans cut. Troy Pride Jr. So I guess they're starting with the cornerback position.
And part of that might be that they've seen guys on the waiver wire that they're interested in.
Yeah.
You know, and then they got to sit and they wait for that guy to potentially show up. But, yeah, that might be the first indication that they're planning on some of the depth at cornerback is going to come from guys who aren't currently on the Texans roster.
I think if you're looking at positions right now, if you faithful listener, are somebody who likes to sit there and kind of workshop a 53-man roster like some of us do, if you're looking at a position where you're asking yourself, where could this be a position where the Texans ultimately enter week one with a couple of guys that aren't even on the in the building right now, cornerback's near the top of the list for me.
I command F'd the list of cuts that are listed on NFL.com now.
Yeah.
And I'm having a hard time even finding names of cornerbacks that I recognize. There's no big names out there quite yet I scroll down through these, but AJ Green is a big name, but not as a cornerback.
No.
So
no. There's a cornerback named AJ Green?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Be a hell of a position change at his age. Drafted in 2011, I'm going to try to make it as a cornerback.
Yeah.
So I think the Pierce conundrum is a big question. Again, if you're just tuning in, C.J. Henderson and Troy Pride Jr. both let go by the Texans per Aaron Wilson. I think wide receiver after the top three, still a big question. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the wide receiver room.
Yeah, we have a really tight wide receiver room, right? It's a lot of good players in their room. A lot of guys made a lot of plays throughout the training camp practices, and also some guys showed up in the games as well. Feel really good about the room that we have. You know, you have the top three guys that we have are all big-time playmakers, but all the other guys have stepped up and made plays at some point, right? And that's a good problem to have, Jonathan. When you have as many guys as we have, it's a really good problem. And I'm definitely excited about the group. I think Coach McDaniel's done a great job working with that group and getting those guys better.
He's not lying. Like, you look at that wide receiver room and all the names in the preseason games, they've all made plays. Now, granted, some of them have been in the fourth quarter against the other team's threes.
Right.
But, like, even Quintez Cephas and Johnny Johnson III are doing things out there.
And I think, too, you got to take what you can despite whatever the level of competition is. I think the one good thing that a lot of those receivers have done is they've made some tough catches, you know, on inaccurate throws or not perfect throws, and with, I think, Mechie especially. But then Xavier Hutchinson has done it with the twos, and we've seen all camp long, Xavier Hutchinson is quarterback proof. It's not like there's one quarterback that likes Xavier Hutchinson. They all seem to trust him. They all seem to find him in practice or in games, and I think he's relatively safe. At this point, though, when you have to make some tough cuts, I think that the Texans' wide receiver room is the one that probably will have potentially received the most trade offers. You know, there's reports that teams have offered or inquired about John Mechie. I'd be surprised if they relinquished him unless it was a King's rant, not a King's, you know, but like really high for where he is. So I think it might just come down to whoever, the guy that's gone is the guy that got the best trade offer.
Could be.
You know, does Noah Brown get a better offer than Robert Woods? Is it as simple as that? And that those might be the guys that are gone, as if the Texans just feel like they got a good offer for him.
Here's D'Amico on Xavier Hutchinson. Does this sound like a coach who's about to keep this guy?
Talk about guys like Xavier Hutchinson, just seeing the progress he's made from year one to year two. It's been pretty cool, right, to see his growth, see his development.
Okay,
so I guess that one, was that part of the same answer about just the wide receivers room in general?
It might have been an adjunct to it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, I always read into guys bringing up people's names.
Proactively like
wasn't,
that?
I know there wasn't a specific... There wasn't a specific question about him. So, you know, at the very least, he brought it up unprompted.
Yeah.
He hasn't necessarily done that with Damian Pierce.
No, he's not.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, he hasn't done it with other running backs either, but I do think that it's not as... I think if they were 100% certain about Damian Pierce, yes, D'Amico has given Damian some praise, but it doesn't sound like the same kind of emphatic praise that you do for a guy who's definitely on the squad.
If I were to pull anything from that cut we just played emphatically, if I were to be like... pound my fist on the table, but I think Xavier Hutchinson's making the team. you know, like, he proactively, without being asked about him, brought up how much he's developed from year one to year two.
I think if you look at the gauge of Xavier Hutchinson versus, or I guess let's, Xavier Hutchinson and John Mechie making the team, I think going into training camp, I think probably the consensus was more along the lines of, well, they'll probably keep one of those guys. Those guys are in a competition. And then early in camp, it was, wow, John Mechie looks completely different and good. And people, a lot of people assumed that it would be John Mechie over Xavier Hutchinson. I was in that camp for 2 or 3 weeks. And then Xavier Hutchinson, though, continued to show up. And John Mechie was dropping passes all over the place. And then Xavier Hutchinson took the lead. I think we've settled into where most people probably feel like, okay, both those guys make
both
the squad.
Of them. That's where I'm at, man. I got them both making it. And I think that's the right decision. What do you think they do? If Andrew Beck has to get put on IR, what do you think they do at fullback?
That's another thing that gets
it's a huge
tough.
Question.
Right. And D'Amico talked about that yesterday, and, you know, was talking about how it's a game by game situation, how you use those guys. And then I also think it's one of those things where you don't want to keep a fullback on the roster just because you feel like you got to have a fullback. It's got to be the right kind of guy. These days, it's more often a guy who's kind of like a tight end. More, you know, Beck is a converted tight end, so he's a tight end / fullback. The tough thing about those guys is it's really hard for tight ends to have the same impact on running plays because they can't, you know, your classic fullback is a shorter, stockier dude that can get up underneath the chin of linebackers and defensive linemen and just pave the way. And none of the guys like the kid they just signed from the Jets or Andrew Beck or any of those guys are quite like that. I look at British Brooks and I kind of think, God, he looks more, and even though he's a bigger running back, like, he looks more like an old school fullback, but who can also catch out of the backfield and is an actual rushing threat.
Yeah.
That's the kind of versatility where I think, man, as long as Andrew Beck is injured, they might look at British Brooks as a running back with upside, but who also might be able to be utilized as a blocking backer like they did versus the Rams.
Yeah.
And that's a tough decision to make right now.
It is. I wonder with Brooks if they feel like, We can release him. We can put him on waivers. I don't think anybody's going to pick him up. Because you pick him up on waivers, you got to put him on your 53-man roster. So I think they're going to look at it and go, I don't think anybody's going to pick him up. And then they throw him on the practice squad, and then they can elevate him for a few weeks and see how it goes, you know, without having to cut corners at another position, you know.
This is where I would say, man, British Brooks, 5'10", Andrew Beck, 6'3". I like British Brooks. I like give me a short fullback. Sean, there's nothing more degrading than these damn fullbacks who are like 5'0" coming up and blasting you and giving you the most pain you've felt on a football field. It's just different.
Beck is 6'3"?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
You thought he was short for a tight end.
I guess in my mind he's burned into my mind as a fullback. You know what I mean? Like that's why. Like, wow.
How do you spell Kyle Juszczyk's name? I got it. Here, Kyle Juszczyk is he's now Juszczyk's 6 foot two.
I'm cool with being asked questions I don't know the answer to, but that one was dirty pool right there.
I know it started with a J.
I know it's got no vowels.
It's like Juszczyk is shorter than like the hybrid tight end slash fullback, but he's still a taller guy, and he's obviously like way more athletic and capable as a receiver than the old school fullbacks, but. 6'2 might be my limit for a guy I consider an actual fullback.
All right, a couple things here. Let's first, next segment, played this yesterday, but this is for the 9 o'clock crowd. Which quarterback would you least want to be stuck in an elevator with for 2 hours? That's based on a story that happened in Dallas this weekend where the audio from it is incredible. We will get
to
that.
It's topical.
It's topical. Because we have a quarterback, I think, that would handle it well. Also, let's give away those Cougs tickets right now. 713-572-4610. Caller number 10 wins a 4-pack of tickets to see the Cougs take on the UNLV Running Rebs this Saturday. I think they're still the Running Rebs. That's a 4-pack. To caller number 10, 713-572-4610. If you miss out this time, two more chances tomorrow to win right here on Payne and Pendergast. So keep it locked in on Sports Radio 610. All day long today, because it's cut time, and we've started to see some of the cuts trickle out of the Texans. We promise you that if any more come out, that we will give them to you right away here on Sports Radio 610. Who would
turn
you
turn it into a full stream instead of a trickle?
That's it, man. It really is.
No
really,
prostate issues on this.
Not on,
we're gushing it.
Not for the Texans, man. They've got a nice flow going.
Like a 15-year-old that's had too much Gatorade. Just let it loose.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You lucky little bastards. You know how good you have it.
We'll keep you tuned in on all that coming up next.
Sport. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. Question on the text page. CJ Henderson had a $500,000 guarantee, was sure he would make the team. This is what I think people need to understand. Like, that's nothing in the grand scheme of a $250 million salary cap. They've got, first of all, the Texans have a ton of cap space. They've got like 19 million in cap space, something like that. Last I checked, they haven't made any big moves that would jeopardize that I can recall. Guys get paid $500,000. It sounds weird to say. They get paid $500,000 to go away all the time. This is just shrapnel in the salary
really
cap.
Yeah, like, and it's not, I don't want to paint an image of Nick not caring at all about $500,000, but it's
cost
it's
of
operating
doing business.
Cash.
Yeah.
It's a cost of doing business. They have that. That's in the budget.
It's in the budget.
You're going to have a lot of dead money on the roster at any given time.
Yep. Here was Jim Harbaugh over the weekend. I don't know if you guys heard this story, but Jim Harbaugh, the Chargers had a bit of an issue at the hotel they were in Dallas. They had 12 players and some other team employees or people affiliated with the team stuck in an elevator at the Westin downtown in Dallas for 2 hours. That's a lot of people now that I think about it. I was kind of poking fun at this situation, but that is a crowded elevator right there.
That's where the
people.
Claustrophobia sets in.
Yeah.
I've been in the situation. I've been stuck on an elevator before for a few minutes.
Yeah.
But one of them was in a really cramped elevator at NRG Stadium, actually. And I could feel myself, like, you feel the anxiety setting in, and like I had to consciously calm myself down a little bit.
Yeah,
I'd be like, don't be that guy. Just, you know, be the calm, cool, and collected one here. But it's not. Yeah, that's a long time to be trapped in an elevator.
2 hours is a lot. That's a lot. So here was Jim Harbaugh. Justin Herbert was one of them, but Jim Harbaugh could not have been more impressed with the leadership shown in this dire situation by his quarterback.
That's a shared experience. I mean, brought them closer together. I just missed it, you know, being on that elevator. And it's like, I wish I could have been there with those guys, you know. And but Justin Herbert was, and the remarkable things that came out of it was, you know, to a guy, you know, Tarheeb, young rookie player, is like, well, Justin Herbert's a leader. I mean, he was a rock, you know, kept everybody calm. And Jerry Fouts told me the same thing, you know, pulled me aside after they got out, and just how great Justin was.
Okay. we played that yesterday. We'll play one more from Harbaugh here in a second. We played that yesterday during Acknowledge Me. And there were people that were texting in like, you guys know Harbaugh was just joking around. I don't think he was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People say he was joking. I feel like if you think that Harbaugh was joking around, you haven't paid attention to Jim Harbaugh.
Yes.
Much. Like,
yes.
Jim Harbaugh has a long history of saying really weird things and being very earnest about them. It's one of those things where it's hard to criticize him for his eccentricities when it seems to be working for him just fine. He's wired different.
Yes.
So, don't ever assume that something weird that Jim Harbaugh says is a joke. I think that, and also though, I've been on airplanes with NFL players who are afraid to fly. Don't be mistaken for the level of, you know, a lot of times guys that necessarily haven't been on airplanes a lot before, a lot of young guys on NFL teams that may not have been on elevators a whole lot.
That's true.
Grow up out in the sticks somewhere and everything. They had everything. I could totally see some big, strong men being reduced to quivering messes in that situation where Justin Herbert actually might have had to kind of calm some guys down.
I bet it was hot on there. They saw the entirety of this Harbaugh interview.
Yeah.
And he was saying that people were getting off of there just drenched in sweat. Because, I mean, they were, you know, you're 2 hours. Even if the elevator's air-conditioned, that's 2 hours in a cramped space. Here's one more from Harbaugh, who finishes this cut with his signature catchphrase.
There's a camaraderie amongst that group that is even stronger than it was before. And it was hot. You know, I was watching as each person came off the elevator. I mean, sweating and... You know, some had the shirt off. Justin Herbert, his hair was a little wet, but his shirt was completely dry. That's another thing that blew me away. The guy is just a beast. Who's got it better than? You know, I wish those guys that were on that elevator.
Okay.
that 100%, like, I think he's a guy that relishes like challenges. You know, he does. He goes off and like Harbaugh, for all of his weirdness and everything, like, he does a lot of things behind the scenes that I guess they're not for publicity, but they do end up getting written about, I suppose. But like, he'll go off on missionary trips, you know, and like he likes into the rainforest and sleeping on the ground and doing all that stuff. So I think he is a guy who genuinely feels like you're lucky if you're challenged.
Right.
You know, like, you want to be challenged and tested in life.
Yeah.
And he looks at that as like, hey, those guys actually got to go through something that's going to make them stronger. I don't think he's overly dramatizing it. Somebody after the show also had texted, like, guys, do you think sometimes we just blow things up like this a little bit more than we should because they're athletes? I'm like, yes, that's the entire absurdity of all of this. There's plenty of, but this is not accountancy talk radio. It's sports talk radio. Yes, there are plenty of people in all walks of life who would have been just like Justin Herbert in that moment.
Yeah.
But which is why it makes it kind of funny that Harbaugh is turning it into he just led the charge in World War I, going over the top of the trenches or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's there's 8,000 elevators that are stuck as we speak right now. So yeah, there's plenty of this going on. Now, the question which you asked me yesterday, and I had a chance to think about it, like, who are the quarterbacks that would be awful in this situation. Like, Justin Herbert does strike me as somebody who would be very calm. He'd be okay to be around. He's not annoying at all. The coverage of Justin Herbert is annoying because he gets covered like he's Peyton Manning by the media. He hasn't done squat yet, but he seems like a good guy. The three names that I came up with, Jameis, as much as I like Jameis Winston, I don't know that I'd like to be stuck in an elevator for 2 hours with Jameis Winston because I feel like he would be giving everybody the big pep talk. And then he might try to fix it proactively. I mean, all these pep talks he's been giving the Browns have been as the backup quarterback. He doesn't need to be doing this stuff. And I feel like Jameis would try to fix it, and then it would get worse. Like, the elevator would just go tumbling down the shaft or something like that.
He would be there. There's a time for pep talks, and then there's a time for calming and quelling emotions.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Winston has that in his bag.
I don't think so.
Like, I don't know if Harbaugh has that in his bag when it comes to, like, his particular brand of motivation. And
I agree.
Oh, you know what? We don't have time. We'll have to play it. Just like, as a way of illustration, the Nico Collins telling his story about Jim Harbaugh. We can play that. We can play that after the break, just to really illustrate. Like, no, this is not your normal human being that we're dealing with here with Jim Harbaugh. He sees life through a different lens than most humans.
The other two, Jeff George, who I. After we got done with the show yesterday, I'm like, that's who it would be. Because I brought up Harbaugh screaming at Ditka. Remember Jeff George screaming, I think, at June Jones it was? Jeff George was former number one overall pick who had more arm talent than maybe any quarterback in the history of the league. Like, Jeff George could sling it. But he was a head case, and he was a hothead, and he's not a winner. He'd be yelling at everybody. And then I think you asked me the question yesterday if Herbert – was the, like, if Herbert was the first one out, and or if you asked me if somebody would be the first
Harbaugh,
one out.
I thought Harbaugh would be the one, like, because because of the importance of him in the organization.
Yeah.
And because he could direct from above.
Yeah.
You know, like, that, literally from above.
Yeah.
Like, the way, you know, if you sit in the emergency exit row, you are supposed to be the first to exit the plane.
That's right.
You're not supposed to sit there and help people out.
George would be the first one off the elevator, but purely for selfish reasons. He'd be like, I got to get out of here. Sorry, ladies. Because there were some women in the elevator, too. Dan Fouts' wife, Jerry Fouts, was... I keep saying Jerry Faust. Jerry Fouts was in there, which brings me to my third one. Zach Wilson. I would not want to be in there if I were Zach Wilson. I certainly wouldn't want to be in there if I were an older woman, you know, like a cougar,
yeah,
if you
like
will.
Yeah, like, you'd be just like, you're standing there with your wife, and all of a sudden Zach Wilson's telling her how, you know, just how impressive she is.
Smells
and maybe,
good.
Maybe a little bit underappreciated.
Yeah.
I don't need that one, Zach Wilson.
Those would be my three. Those would be my my three that I would not want to be in that elevator. Oh, Russell Wilson. People are texting in on this now. Russell Wilson. I couldn't be stuck in an elevator with Russell Wilson for 2 minutes, let alone 2 hours. Oof.
You know what? Because Wilson would start doing it. He would look at it like he did on that transcontinental flight where he was doing walking lunges and stretches and warm-ups down the aisle. Like, he would use it as an opportunity to show that he was still going to get his work
in. Getting the work in.
I was always torn on that story about Russell Wilson because it is a really good idea to get up and do some exercise on a long flight. So I was as much as I wanted to add that to the thing of weird Russell Wilson things, it's a smart thing you should be doing.
Yeah, Russ has a lot of things. I noticed that the other day. Like, they played some answer of his about the quarterback competition he's in right now. And it was the right answer, you know. It was all the things you're supposed to say, but then it was him saying it. I'm like, ugh, Russell Wilson. And I'm like, if any other quarterback said that, I'd be like, that's a good answer.
It's the same thing I was talking in my live read for Trajan Wealth. I was talking about being stuck in an elevator with that person where you just can't stand every word that comes out of their mouth.
Yeah,
those people in your life, people reach a status where you realize, like, okay, that thing that he just said, it's a perfectly fine thing to say, but it's annoying out of me that he said it. Like, there's nothing he can say that isn't annoying.
Yeah. Ryan Leaf in an elevator. I disagree. I've met Ryan Leaf a couple times. He'd be fine, I guess. I think he'd be okay. Aaron Rodgers would try to turn the lights off and treat it like a darkness retreat. Maybe. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. We're going to keep an eye on the waiver wire here for you guys because the cuts for the Texans are starting to roll in here. If you missed it, CJ Henderson, Troy Pride Jr., the first two cuts on a day where there are several more to be made. CJ Stroud getting MVP love. We got a big matchup tonight in Philadelphia as well. We'll get you ready for all that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. Text messages coming in. I hate to be trapped in an elevator with Deshaun Watson. We've got a few of those. Joe Namath, you're so cute. I want to kiss you in an elevator. And that's the old Joe Namath. Joe,
yeah, he's sober.
Yeah, he's cleaned up. He's cleaned up.
I was listening to the radio on the weekend. You know, it was one of those older guys that does the CBS Sports Radio on the station. And I just turned it on, and he was talking about, people were calling in with their Joe Namath stories, and it's one of those moments where you're like, oh, crap.
Did he die?
Joe Namath died?
Yeah.
And apparently he did not. It hasn't hit the wire, at least, in the last week if he did.
Okay.
So, yeah, for whatever reason, they were calling in with old Joe Namath stories.
Okay.
You want to try to grab Gen Z. You know, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. You spend the afternoon telling old Joe Namath stories.
Dude, yeah. Well, classic national network radio on the weekends. Yeah. I've been there. Wow, wouldn't it be funny if a story came to light where Herbert started the Stuck folks with "Row, row, row your boat" for 2 hours? That would be something.
It would be. There's an old saying. You know, sometimes people always feel like you got to do something. Do something.
Yeah.
Like sometimes instead of just don't just stand there, do something. You should think, don't just do something. Just stand there.
Stand there.
There's being a source of calm can be a great form of leadership at times. And in a circumstance like that, I think Justin Herbert or any other human being who's a non-athlete who can just stand there and just be a source of calm and peace can be a big asset.
Just to put a bow on this, did you send Ben the Nico Collins? Do we have that?
I did. It's going to take a second for him to actually do it all and everything.
Okay, gotcha. Never mind. Okay. Well, Ben, let's hit Steve Wyche here then. We'll circle back to Nico. Here's Steve Wyche, NFL Network. This is the kind of love CJ's getting. We talked about him in the Mike Sando Tears article before. He's rated 8th. I just looked at ESPN's ranking the top 100 players that came out this morning. CJ's 15th. He's 5th among quarterbacks. Steve Wyche is picking him for MVP of the league.
I'm with you on Patrick Mahomes being the guy, but I'm going to go with another quarterback in his conference. That's CJ Stroud with the Houston Texans.
Okay.
Now this guy.
Buying in, Steve.
They've got the offensive line, and they've only got him more weapons. Let's get him Stephon Diggs, okay? He's one of the best quarterbacks already in the NFL, top 5 or top 6 guy. Let's go ahead and give Stephon Diggs. This offense is going to be varied. Yeah, people know who the Texans are. They're not going to sneak up on anybody, but he's got a great quarterback coach in Gerard Johnson, great play schemer in Bobby Slowick. But this guy, the effort and the stuff he's put in, he plays the position where it looks easy, mm-hmm. like Mahomes. He may not do some of the spectacular Houdini-type stuff, but the game has come to him so quickly in the NFL. That's what I'm saying. He's going to be in that conversation an awful lot this year.
All right, so CJ Stroud, and he is. He's 3rd on the odds board right now. There's a website, Vegas Insider, that takes all the futures odds like that and kind of like the top 6 or 8 betting outlets and kind of blends them all into one big odds board. And there's only 2 guys ahead of CJ Stroud in the preseason MVP odds board. And it's Patrick Mahomes, who's the favorite. Mahomes will be the favorite probably unless CJ takes them in. Mahomes will be the favorite every year for the next 5-6 years. Josh Allen is 2. And I just think the Bills are not going to be good enough for him to win the MVP this year. And then CJ's 3. Like, Lamar Jackson's a little further back, the reigning MVP.
I think a lot of it is, too, it's simply a matter of look at the receiving weaponry he has. And if those guys stay healthy, even if the running game isn't what I hope it can be, you know, because I think to be genuinely elite, you got to also have a really good rushing attack. But it's hard to envision it not being a really good passing performance out of CJ Stroud this year, because so many of the things that typically lead to a sophomore quarterback slump, it tends to be with quarterbacks who in their rookie year were on a team that had a great defense and already had a really good rushing attack. And especially these days, a quarterback who did a lot with his legs, you know, and because that's when those guys, teams have the entire offseason to film and they realize, okay, this guy's got some drastic deficits in his passing game and all of those other things. Like, defenses figure it out. Where CJ, I think you almost Definitely unanimously. Like, I went out and I sought out negative opinions about CJ in the offseason, trying to figure out where the weak spots were and everything. And people were just blown away by how well he functions mentally. That he's doing things mentally that you're hoping quarterbacks do in their fourth and fifth and sixth year. When these days everybody gets their quarterback extension after year three, usually what a team hopes is that the guy has already advanced to the point where CJ is right now, where you feel like, okay, this is a guy who can do more with less.
Yeah.
And we won't be able to retain some of our free agents, but our quarterback is here and he's ready right now. The Texans are kind of in a magical little spot where CJ's already at that point, but because he's on his rookie contract, they can also load up on guys like Stephon Diggs and Danielle Hunter and everybody else. So it's it doesn't mean a thing until you do it in the regular season. It's just that a lot of the old cliche, well, they got a year's worth of film on them. Nah, they were already throwing all that stuff at him last year.
Yep.
It's and CJ does not look one bit like a guy who's complacent or doesn't realize how hard it is. He talks all the time about the things he still needs to improve at and that he is still a young quarterback. Like, he's got the right mindset for
it. Yeah, that's why I have a hard time envisioning this team going like 8-9 this year if CJ's healthy for 17 games, even against the massively upgraded schedule that they've got as compared to last year. They're a better overall football team. I think as far as the MVP goes, if you dig into this schedule lays out like some WWE writer sat down and said, you know what storyline we're going to come up with this year for WrestleMania is CJ Stroud winning the MVP of the league. And here's how we're going to script the story of him winning the MVP. Because the schedule lays out absolutely perfect for him to win what is a largely narrative-based, story-based award. It's not as statistically based as it is storyline and impression based. He's got a first eight games that are very manageable. So the chance to make a first impression by starting out hot, like 6-2, is right there. And then you go from that, like, okay, well, now he's in the mix. Now let's see what he does against some better competition. You know, let's see what he does against the heavyweights. You know, let's see what he does against, you know, the Brock Lesnars of the world, that kind of thing. Weeks 9 through 11, they play three primetime games. Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. So they're getting three different broadcast teams gushing about him. They're getting three different time slots, and they're playing Aaron Rodgers, the Detroit Lions, who are the darling this year, and the Dallas Cowboys, who are still a very popular primetime team. So there are going to be a ton of eyeballs on CJ for those three games. And then down the stretch, like, if you were looking for a stretch of football even more conducive to making a final impression, I don't think you come up with a better one than weeks 15 through 17, where you come off the bye playing the Miami Dolphins, probably getting some sort of shootout because they can score points. And then you've got, within a four-day period, Mahomes on the road and Lamar Jackson at home, the last two MVPs of the league. It sets up, as long as they can win these games, right, or their fair share of them, it sets up perfectly. I'm telling you right now, if CJ beats Mahomes on the road on the 21st and Lamar Jackson on Christmas Day, he is winning the MVP this year.
Well, if you think about the way it was with the Defensive Player of the Year or Rookie of the Year award last year with Will Anderson, for most of the year it was Jordan Davis, you know, as the heavy favorite all year long. He had all the highlight reel stuff and everything else. And then the Eagles defense fell apart while Will Anderson really poured it on strong towards the end of the season.
With a bum ankle, by the way.
With a bum ankle, right. You know, and that was enough because it's a regular season award. It has nothing to do with the playoffs. And you know, CJ, same thing. That I think that Colts game being on national television and the Texans pulling that victory off, it was kind of a coronation in a lot of ways for the rookies. So that plays out well. So the circumstances are there. Obviously, the Texans have to follow through on all of the actual team parts of it for him to pull it off.
Yeah, it's going to be fun,
We do have that Jim Harbaugh, just as a way of illustration. Yeah. So for people who are skeptical about whether Jim Harbaugh was, they thought he was just joking about Justin Herbert showing all of the, you know, Jim Harbaugh gushing about Justin Herbert showing grace under pressure when they were stuck in an elevator together. This is the guy you're dealing with. This is Nico Collins talking about how Jim Harbaugh conducted himself when he visited Nico Collins at the University of Michigan.
I came in, man, from all lunch.
Real quick. When he was recruiting him in high school. Yeah.
I came in, man, from lunch. Right, so he came in, him and Coach Pep. So they was in the field house, man. You know, he sat down. You know, I was eating my lunch. You know, he was sitting there beside me. He said, what's up, man? Jim Harbaugh. I'm like, how you doing? Nico Collins. Like, food looking kind of good. He went there and grabbed the fry, right? I'm like, go ahead. You know, just have it, you know. But and then that night, man, he came over to the crib. You know, he stayed over. And
he slept over.
Yeah, he slept over. It was crazy because I wasn't expecting him to, you feel me, to chill. He came in. No, he was in the living room. He was in the living room on the floor. On the floor. Yeah, so he came in. He came in the city, man. So he was there the whole entire day. Him and Pep Hamilton, and we was there just chilling. You know, he said he was gonna stay the night. I really didn't believe it until he really didn't leave. It was like 9 o'clock. I'm like, oh yeah, he's for real.
Extra pillow.
Yeah, it was for real. You know,
you
so
had to commit.
Yeah,
you
I had to. It was one of them. I'm like, yeah, Harbaugh. He's locked in with me, man.
I love that Nico's somebody who loved that Harbaugh stayed at his house.
Yeah.
Because it's so weird.
I forgot. I think, were you out when we played that the first time?
No, I was here.
I might have played that with a... You're here. Okay.
Yep, I was here.
Yeah, that's like, he's a different dude, man. He's a different dude. Plus, I hadn't caught the first time we played that it sounds like he was at their house the whole day. I was thinking he was in the city the whole day. It sounds like he was there like all afternoon on into the evening and then spent the night as well.
Yeah, I heard it as he met Nico at the school and then they went to his house later that
day.
Right. Yeah. But he spent the whole day with Nico, yeah.
Right, yeah, that part. No, I knew that they were at the school, but I figured it was like, oh, dinner at the house or something. It sounds like he spent the whole day at Nico's house afterwards and then also slept on the floor.
Yeah.
He's a different dude, man.
He's just different. We've got another move by the Texans, and I'm not surprised by this one. I thought this one was coming all camp. Unfortunately, scored a touchdown in the Hall of Fame game, and then shortly thereafter strained a calf muscle and was just done for training camp. Teagan Quatoriano injured tight end Teagan Quatoriano, per a league source. That's Aaron Wilson tweeting it. Strained his calf against the Bears in the Hall of Fame game. He's actually carted off the field. It looked a lot worse. But he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. He got drafted in 22 in that Derek Stingley Jr. class. And when he's been on the field, it's looked like there's something there with him. He just can't stay on the field. And that's one of the positions where there's just no room for them to keep a fourth tight end on this team. And the three tight ends they have, they love Stover and Brevin and Dalton Schultz.
Right, yeah. If you're going to keep four tight ends, you'd be robbing from, unless you had a guy who's a maven on special teams, you'd be robbing from either the receivers room, where they'd probably like to try to figure out a way to keep an extra guy, or right now with Andrew Beck injured and uncertain, you know, you might want to keep an extra running back / fullback. It's just it's a tough spot to be in right now.
Yep.
If he was a better blocker, then maybe they would use him as the fullback, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, he just can't stay on the field, man. It's too bad. He was looking like he could be a nice day three pick for them. He's made some plays.
The Chronicle had also reported they plan to waive linebacker Tariq Barnes and defensive line Feldarius Payne. Not big surprises there either.
Okay, yeah, no big surprises. So no wow moves yet. The wow moves are going to come while our two friends sitting in studio here are going to be on the air. If there is a wow move to be had here, John Lopez and Reginald Atatula, they are in the loop. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, what's on, fella?
What's
happening, man?
Are you guys excited for all the cuts to be coming down during your show?
You're darn right. I mean,
a lot of breaking news.
Here's the thing. We're going to have a roster, man.
Yeah.
We're going to have, all this is the news that we're going to hit. But we're going to have ourselves the 2024 Texans in no time.
What's the biggest question for you guys right now with this roster?
We're not getting too creative here with running back. I think everybody's kind of talking about the same thing. But there's some others.
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to the actual cutdown, as it feels like we might just be in the place where Dameon Pierce is on the roster, and the actual question there is who gets more of those touches outside of Joe Mixon, which that doesn't feel like a cutdown day question. I feel like the cutdown day question is, which of the wide receivers do they ultimately retain, and which of those maybe get traded or, you know, ultimately are cut?
Yeah, I think trades are a big possibility. I think this is what I think is a possibility. I think they could end up keeping Dameon Pierce and Cam Akers, and if that's the case, that's a sign they just haven't found a good trade yet for Dameon Pierce. They're going to move Dameon Pierce at some point.
Mm.
I can't imagine them both being on the roster to be used.
It's where we have the biggest disconnect, I think, between observing and then how to if maybe D'Amico and Caserio do genuinely feel that Dameon is just fine. I have just a hard time accepting that because it's diverges so starkly from the way I feel about the situation.
Yeah.
So I mean, I might be completely wrong, but I just I can't look at it and think that they're not thinking about trading Dameon Pierce.
Right.
It's just, it's really hard to accept.
Couldn't agree more.
There's a text message here. We just got done talking about the possibility, John and Reginald, about CJ winning the MVP this year.
Yeah.
You know, kind of how the schedule lays out. I was kind of laying out like how the schedule lays out perfectly with a kind of a softer beginning to the schedule mm-hmm. and then a ton of primetime games to make a statement with Mahomes and Lamar Jackson sitting there in the final few weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Text message. Love you guys, but you need to take a deep breath on this Stroud MVP stuff. Sorry, we're doing a segment on the guy who's third on the odds board right now.
Yeah.
Possibly winning the MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do the bookmakers know?
What are
they're always
here?
Wrong.
Right.
Yeah. They're all, yeah. The slumlords out in Vegas.
Yeah, what do they know?
Right.
Plus, Sean's whole conversation was centered around like, oh, the schedule sets up really well. That it's a brutal test at the end of the season.
Yes.
But it's one it's set up that if he does well and the Texans can do well during that stretch, it's a narrative based award and he's got every opportunity to do it if that's the case.
If he's in the hunt. If he's in the hunt and he beats Mahomes and Lamar Jackson back to back.
It's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
It's a wrap. That's exactly what I said earlier. If he goes. Yeah,
you take a deep breath.
Yeah. Yeah. 6844. You take a deep breath or whatever it is. All right. We are done. We are out of time. Seth, antibodies to you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, antibodies to you, Sean.
Thank you, my friend.
Irrational football decisions by the people that you hope make
Let's
rational
hope so, man.
Decisions.
We got 5 hours to see if that happens.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.